Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
I was thinking about, as a kid, I grew up in Southern California, and when I was little, my mom used to take us to Disneyland, not Disney World, old school, California, Disneyland. And as a little kid, you know, I loved all the roller coasters, I still do, but as a little guy, one of my favorite rides was this ride called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Anybody ever been to that in California? Do they have that at Disney World? I don't know. And so apparently, I didn't know this till recently, because when I was preparing this sermon, I looked it up, and it was like an animated movie in the 40s, and then they remade a movie of it later with part of the cast of Monty Python and some other stuff. But I didn't know any of that. Just as a kid, the thing I loved about this ride is it took you through this house, this like themed house, and it didn't have all the ups and downs, but every room had this different set of fictional dangers, and it was like these quick, jerky turns, and it just was really, you know, erratic like that, and then you were done, and I thought, man, that's this year. Like, it's like, forget Mr. Toad. It's Mr. 2020's Wild Ride. That's how it's rolling. And as I've been thinking about the year, one of the things that I've observed, and I don't think it's just me, I bet a lot of us have observed this, is in looking at the dynamics of everything, really since March, and particularly with COVID, is just how precious, how important, how valuable community is. That I think regardless of, you know, our diverse opinions about the virus and about how the virus is handled, regardless of where you are with all of that, I think all of us can really recognize that regardless of how it's been handled, that there is a negative downside of just this sort of isolation, this break in community, that it's just having been distanced from each other, it's not good for us. And that's something we see, not just with this, we see this in sociological studies as well, with infants and children, the need for connection and touch with their parents and adolescents and the people that are older. And that community is something that is so, so important to us as human beings. We know that the more isolated socially a person becomes, with time, it's much more easy to, or much easier to feel marginalized. And patterns of thought and patterns of speech and patterns of behavior can become ingrained that aren't really based in reality and don't have the benefit of other voices to feed back and to shape, and not benefiting others with your voice when you're living separated and isolated, marginalized from other folks. The community gives us a chance to share really what we're thinking. Real community. It gives us a chance to share what we're wrestling with, even if we haven't got it all worked out. It gives us an amazing opportunity to actually be that person for someone else. That in community, you and I have the incredible gift to actually be that person that someone else could speak to. And I know over the years, pastoring and over, I don't know if I'd mentioned this before, it's a different sermon, but when I was teaching overseas, one semester at the Bible college where I taught, I developed a course on like an introduction to biblical counseling. And in doing research for that, I was astounded at some of the statistics that I had found that psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors and lay counselors had done over a vast number of people, vast amount of time, finding that in the high 90 percentiles of people said that they felt they had not a single person in their life that was a really trustworthy person that they could share honestly in a safe way what was going on with them. And real community is where that can happen. Community is where we can be encouraged, and encouragement is not just, you know, you can do it. It is that, but it's not only that. I have found, and for those of you that have experienced this, I know you'll agree with me, I have found over the years that one of the greatest forms of encouragement actually is silent. It's when I'm going through something and I'm not doing well, and I can sit down with somebody and I can share what's going on with them, and they don't even really have an answer. They don't have a fix. They don't try and fix me. They don't drop Romans 8:28 on me, you know, which is a true verse and immensely powerful and foundational, but in the moment of pain isn't really that helpful. It's later on that it becomes incredibly grounding. But the person is just in their silence, is with me, lets me know they love me, they understand. And just knowing I've got somebody on my side who knows what I'm going through and is going to journey with me, even though they're not experiencing it themselves, just knowing that they know and that they're with, incredible form of encouragement. And those things happen in community, and communities where we can be challenged, which is a good thing. Community, good community is not about, healthy community is not about finding a group of people that you just agree with. That's boredom. That's what that is. Community is where we can be challenged. And if we are wise, where we welcome other views to try to always be growing and refining how we think. It's where, as Scripture says, we really can be molded and shaped and reformed and sharpened the way that a rough piece of iron can be worked on by another rough piece of iron. And as Christians, community really becomes something much greater. Because what we find with all these things I've been talking about is that community really is a basic human need. A community is a basic human need. The nature of the kind of beings that we are, regardless of your worldview, whether you're a theist or a Christian or an atheist or an agnostic or naturalist, everybody can recognize we need community. It's a basic human need. Of course, as Christians, we think there are grander truths behind that through the person of God and his eternal community as a triune in the Trinity. But even beyond that, it's a basic human need. But as Christians, community really becomes something much deeper, much greater. For when we believe in Jesus, let me put it this way. When we put our faith in the direction to which all the evidence is pointing, or we put our faith in the person to whom all the evidence is pointing, God does this thing. He interrupts the natural order. He does something supernatural. He does this miracle where he takes us from this spiritual system of the world that really is still like the garden, running away from God and even opposed to the things of God. And he takes us from that and does this spiritual movement and puts us into the community of Christ. I love Colossians 1:13, where it says, He, God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom, that is authority and rule and society and community, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. As Christians, community is more than a basic human need. It is that, but it is more than that. That it is more than a good idea. It is a foundational truth. It's a foundational part of our identity in Christ. That we are called not just out of something. We're not just called out of the world. We're called into something. We're called into God's family. We're called into this community, this Christ community, the church. And there's a great design and purpose behind that. The last two sermons I preached were all about that. Go check it out if you're interested. But there's a great purpose and design for this community, and that is the work of God. That he never, this is not some accidental thing. It's not a program. This is his intention, and that God never just chooses a path in what he does. It's always the best of all possible paths. That if he is the God who in fact has all knowledge, that he's not lacking any of the information, and all the information he has is correct. And he has all wisdom. So he always knows the exact best thing to do with his complete knowledge. And if he has all authority, all power, then there's nothing to ever keep him back from making that perfect decision with that perfect information. And this God says, I'm going to work through these people, the church. It's God's intentional plan for the world. The church is not just a bunch of Christians hanging around. It's not a Christian social club. It's the direct intentional plan of God in the world. I love the language of a British theologian, Richard Baucom, who he builds on the theology of some other late 20th century theologians like Pannenberg and Multman and Wolff and stuff and others. But he looks at the New Testament, and when he sees the way God speaks about community, he uses these phrases, borrowing from the biblical phrase, he uses these phrases of one another-ness, that we see this one another-ness that happens, or in one another-ness, this sort of amazing community, this mutuality, this one another-ness that God has created, that exists solely by our shared faith in Christ. And it rings of those one another statements. And when those things are happening in a healthy Christian community, these are the kinds of things that happen. How does this sound as a community? You enter into a community, and the kind of things that take place is that there is love. There is acceptance. There's instruction and welcoming. There is a service. There's helping each other with your struggles and being patient. There's forgiveness. There's a mutual surrendering or submission in going forward. There's encouragement. There's help to help each other do greater works of good in this world. There's hospitality and a humility with one another to build each other up. There's kindness and there's prayer. Is that not what we hunger for? Does that not speak to the heart, the core of who we are created to be? And I could sum those things up a bit in saying healthy Christian community has these aspects of mutual care and of prayer, this one anotherness, and loving God together. Together loving our Lord. And honestly, this is where, as a church, we should celebrate and those who now and over the years have led in the home team ministry as a leader. Or in fact, can we actually give a round of applause to those people who have led in our home teams? Yes, yes. Praise God. Praise God. And that's applause for your service. That's not saying you're better than the rest of us. Maybe better than some of us. I don't know. But it's for the service, because those roles are at the backbone of the life of the church. And journeying together, and that's what, for years, I remember we led a home team before we went to Hungary. We were part of home teams. And then even coming back, hearing about the last 8 years, that you all have been such faithful servants in this way, that the home teams have been marked by mutual care and prayer and one anotherness and loving God together. And that's where we come to this morning, as Brent mentioned, that we are launching the home teams today. The signups are open today. And I purposefully waited to this point to talk about this because I didn't want to just throw it out there. Because this isn't a program. This isn't some sort of administrative thing. We're really just emulating what Jesus did, which we're going to look at a little bit more in a second, where Jesus was with huge crowds, but he would be with a smaller group of folks and dwell more deeply, more meaningfully. And so the home team signups are open today. We have 11 couples, really more like 21, 22 because of the support couples as well, who've already taken the first step to say, we're gonna serve the church to try to help this healthy Christian community take place. And you can sign up for these things in kind of two categories, online or in paper. But we want to ask you, if I can, as a matter of administration, please, if at all possible, sign up online, either through the Church Center app, or if you go to the website, there's an announcement on the homepage or in the small group section where you can browse the home teams and you can look and see all the details. There's, as Brent said, there's home teams that are meeting online. There's home teams that are meeting in person. There's home teams that are doing a hybrid of that. It's a crazy time. And as a church, we've had to be flexible with our Sunday mornings. And we recognize the wisdom to be flexible with our home teams as well. And so that's how we're moving forward. And you can find all the details and contact the home team leader there. And I encourage you to look into that. If at all possible, use the Church Center app or sign up online. There's a QR code on the screen. You can actually use your phone right now if you want. I won't be offended. If you're online and it's on the screen, you can even hold it up to your screen. Just put your camera on it and it'll bring up the link that you can then go and view that. Or you can go to the website. But if it's impossible for you to sign up online, we do have some brochures that we put out today, and we will put them out next week as well, where it lists all the home teams, and you can just check off the one that you'd like to join if you know already, put your name and your email, drop it in the offering box, and then we'll take care of it from there. And so these are open today, and these home teams have been and will continue to try to facilitate this healthy Christian community of mutual care and prayer and one anotherness, loving our God together. And this fall, we're even going to be working with the home teams into another piece of healthy Christian community, which is loving our neighbors together. When we look at the Gospels and we see these instances where the lawyers either honestly or dishonestly, they go to Jesus multiple times and either with a genuine question or more often trying to trap him. And they basically say, Jesus, you know, there's the law and the prophets, there's a lot of stuff in there, Jesus, hundreds, 300 plus commandments in there. So what's the greatest, Jesus? What do you think? And every time he answers, the greatest is, and he quotes from Deuteronomy 6:4 and following, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's saying, love God first and best, preeminently. Love God with all of who you are. And then he'll add, and the second is this. Love your neighbor even as you love yourself. And he says the whole law and prophets rest on this. And this piece of healthy community is the next part we're going to be working to build in very reasonable, accessible ways at certain times, taking this community that most of us have enjoyed, that many of our neighbors do not have, and taking that community and making it available to our neighbors in very accessible, reasonable ways. And so we're excited for that next step that we're going to be doing as well, and there'll be more information coming out with that. Well, I want to finish out our time looking at a passage that comes to my mind often when I think about community. It isn't taught very often when it comes to community, which probably says more about me than it says about the passage, but we'll see how it goes. So if you would, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, third Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? We're going to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be in chapter 6, and we're going to look at this point where Jesus calls the 12 disciples. And when you read the Gospels, we see the word, in English Bibles, we see the word disciple or disciples used a lot. And it doesn't always mean the 12. I think a lot of times we think that. There's many times where it's talking about these big crowds that would come because Jesus became famous very quickly from his miracles and his teaching. And so we see in this passage that there's going to be a crowd of disciples, and out of those, Jesus will call the 12. So Luke chapter 6. We'll read verses 12 to 16. Now in these days, he, Jesus, went out on the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles, which means sent out ones, the ones he was going to send out. Verse 14, there was Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, also Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but if you do a little work in the New Testament looking at the background of who these people were and what we know about them. This is not like a group of buddies. This wasn't like a college group that was already gathering and it was like, hey, you're a group of friends. Why don't you come follow me? These were folks who, in a lot of ways, really didn't agree on very much at all. In some ways, they were natural enemies. You have some fishermen in here, but you also have a tax collector who would have been stealing from the money the fishermen earned and robbing them among everybody else. You also had a zealot. Now, the zealots were a radical group within Israel at that time, who one of the marks of that group was they rejected everything Roman, which would include these Roman taxes and the people that collect Roman taxes and the people who pay Roman taxes and the people who adhere to other Roman things. And then you've got Judas Iscariot. Jesus intentionally chose to be close to him, his betrayer. And the scripture says he knew what the end would be for Judas, and yet he still welcomed him in. He still loved him as he loved all the others, cared for him as he cared for all the others. This is the original, if I can stretch it, if you give me the grace, it's the original home team. It's a bunch of guys that can't agree, they want to fight each other, and then one guy that eventually is going to betray the leader. It's a loose analogy, give me some grace, okay? No, it's a Bible church, take it easy. But here's the thing, I think about this with community, because I've been in a lot of home teams, small groups, Hazicho Portok is what we call them in Hungary. I've been in a lot of these over the years, and this is a passage that speaks to the truth that community, healthy Christian community, it's not about finding this group where everybody fits your categories just perfect. It's not about that. It's not about being in a group where you fit everybody else's categories just perfect. And again, thank God, because it would be insanely boring to be with people that just agree with you on everything all the time. Healthy Christian community, there is some diversity among the people. There's some diversity in the stories of the people. There's some diversity of the opinions that go on. But there is, among the believers, a single shared love for and faith in Christ our Lord. And that is the reason it exists. That is the unifying principle. I love Paul's great refrain that he uses in Ephesians 4:4-6. He says, he reminds them, there is one body. There is one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And this is the groundwork among Christians for healthy Christian community. And like the 12, we are a mixed bag. But in Christ, we are united eternally. Transferred into this new Christ community by God himself. So I will say, if you're not in meaningful Christian community, if you're not in healthy Christian community where you really are being encouraged and challenged, then go to look at these home teams to get involved. Like again, this isn't a program that we're trying to advance. We're just really following what Jesus did. It's not rocket science. It's very, very simple. And take the step to do that. Again, there's these 11 or 22 couples that have already taken the first step to serve you, because it always takes two. Over the years, I've had so many conversations with people in churches where I have been or who have attended other churches where they'll make comments about, well, I tried to get involved in this, but you know they weren't as welcoming as I liked or this and that. And fair enough. That's not how it should be. But I always push back a little bit, lovingly, and say, well, did you make an effort? Did you introduce yourself? Did you take a step? Because the healthy Christian community, it's not about everyone waiting for everyone to come into your space. It's about all of us stepping out into a new space that Jesus created. And it's a space where in humility and shared love and faith in him, God can and will miraculously change our lives and the lives of our neighbors. So much so that, in fact, it would be beautiful to see neighbors who aren't believers even coming to attend home teams and checking it out and being part of a community, which as the society becomes more and more secular, will make more and more sense. People who are not believers already will be less and less likely to come into environments like this. But they'll be more and more likely to connect with neighbors who they see, okay, they're a Christian, but gosh, they're actually kind and loving, and they're willing to open up their home at times and be involved in our neighborhood. God will work in these ways. And it's God's desire for you to have this healthy and meaningful community. It's what we were all made for. And in Christ, it's who we are. And so the call would be, live who you are now in Christ alongside meeting that basic human need for community. Amen? Let me pray for us. We'll finish up. Lord God, I thank you for your wisdom. I recognize, Lord, and admit freely my own need for community. I confess, Lord, my own failures time and time again over the years to live fully in the freedom of Christ when it comes to community. And Lord, now this morning, I pray that together here with one mind as a church, we could pray for our home team leaders, the support couples, and for this fall start with this. And so as a church, Lord, I welcome all of you to pray with me. Lord God, we ask your great blessing on the home team leaders and the support couples. I pray that you give them the extra grace of the energy, the time, and the focus that will be needed. I pray for the married couples that you bless them in the oneness of their marriage, to give them a healthy mutual submission in serving and moving forward. Pray for unity between the couples, those leaders, and the support couples. Pray for a humility and a willingness to sharpen one another, to encourage one another. And Lord God, we pray for all of the folks in the church who will join into these different smaller communities. We pray that you'd bless us with a humble spirit. Fill us with your spirit, Lord God, so that in the joy of our Lord, we could walk in, recognizing that not everybody is going to agree with us, and we're not going to agree with everybody else, but our goal is to move towards Christ. And that as we all draw closer to you, Jesus, we will also be drawn closer to one another. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you would do miraculous things. That you would do things that are undeniably yours. Things which cannot be attributed to anyone else but you. In the lives of those in the home teams and in the neighborhoods where they gather. In your great name, amen.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.